Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to gather in the Lord's house this third Sunday of Advent. As we celebrate this season of Advent, we have been reflecting on the many opportunities that God gives us to serve Him in this community, in this state, and in this world. And this year, this Sunday, we want to really emphasize the global missions offerings sponsored by the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship. We know many of you give faithfully throughout the year to the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship, and this year our goal, church goal, is to raise $1,000 for CBF Global Missions. It's one thing to hear me stand up and say things like that and talk about how this offering means so much, but it's also a better way to hear it from some of our close friends. So we've got a message for you this morning.
I want you to know that you have truly overwhelmed us with kindness and love as we have gone from preparing for Japan to now actively ministering here in our new home of Kanazawa. You have provided us support through prayer, through financial assistance, through kind words on Facebook messages, and even with an amazing package with lots of goodies for our Christmas party.
To catch you up on what we've been doing the last 3 months since our arrival in Kanazawa, we've begun leading weekly English Bible studies at Kanazawa Baptist Church, our church. We preach regularly in both our church as well as Toyama Kozumi Cho Church, which is about an hour away as a partner church of our congregation. We also pastor the Kanazawa International Baptist Church in biweekly worship. We take Japanese classes twice a week and do lots of homework. We teach English in the Megumi, which means grace, kindergarten at the church, as well as we lead a college group in an English club every single week at a local Christian university.
We are so thankful to be able to participate in worship during this third Sunday in Advent. We have been leading Kanazawa International Baptist Church through Advent in preparing our hearts for the celebration to come at Christmas. Today, we too celebrated the joy of Mary at the news that she would carry the Son of God in her womb. We join together in praise, as Mary did, in singing her joy to the Lord.
We also want you to know that we have great joy in our hearts and praise God for the support of First Baptist Church of Elon. Your gifts to the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship and to our ministry, as well as others around the world, are changing lives in the name of Jesus Christ. We can safely say that we've seen God appear in all sorts of ways during our time here thus far, and are so thankful for the opportunity that you've given us here.
We look forward to the day that we can see some of your familiar faces here in Kanazawa from Elon. But until then, we will settle for Skype calls and warm messages online. Thank you for your love, and know that our church prays for you too as you share the love of Christ with Elon and beyond.
Merry Christmas.
Around the world, your donations towards the global missions offering support missionaries like Carson and Laura. This will be their first Advent season away from their families, and I expressed to them over this week that we are lifting them up in our prayers this time of year and the celebration and the joy that they're being able to spread in Japan. So I encourage you this year, if you have not given yet, there is an opportunity to support the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship, the missionaries around the world, a chance to support Carson and Laura. If you do not have an envelope, there are some in the vestibule as you leave this morning. You can pick those up and place them in the offering plate. Our goal this year is to raise $1,000 for the CBF Global Missions offering. As we reflect upon the many opportunities we have to serve, not just overseas like Carson and Laura, but in the local community, we have an opportunity this afternoon. This afternoon, we're going to encourage everyone to come out about 3:30. It's supposed to be a beautiful sunny day, so says the weatherman, to come out and to share the love of Christ, the season of joy, with those that are shut in around our community from our church. So this afternoon at 3:30, I want you to come, enjoy the time of Christmas caroling that will take place. We'll go around and come back for our fellowship meal, followed by our Elon Roundtable meeting this evening at 5:45. Now, sometimes we place restrictions about can you sing or not, like Laura would never ask me to be in the choir because she knows I can't sing. But she can't stop me from going to sing Christmas carols in the community. And I fully believe that we are called to make a joyful noise, and joyful can be defined many different ways. So this afternoon, come and make a joyful noise with me. Make me sound really good at 3:30, and we'll go out Christmas caroling to our community. Many other opportunities are in your bulletin this morning. Please take note of those. And as we gather here on this season of Advent, on this Sunday of joy, may we prepare our hearts and minds to encounter the Christ child this day.
The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. Isaiah 35:1-2.
Joy to the World is a beloved carol written in the early 1700s by Isaac Watts. It captures the enthusiasm we feel when announcing to the world the joy of our Messiah.
The first verse speaks to this joy. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. As we light the third candle of Advent, let us carry the joy of our redemption into the world, that the people may catch the spirit.
May we pray. Lord of joy, we await your coming with great expectation. Our lives are marked by joy even when our circumstances might prove to the contrary. May we bring joy to every heart this Advent season, and peace and love to all mankind. Amen.
Good morning. Please stand for our Advent carol. It's number 87 in your hymn book, Joy to the World, the Lord is Come.
Time of prayer, I want to invite you to take a moment. This will be more than a prayer of invocation, but one of confession and one of solemn meditation, as you just take a few minutes in the busyness and the rush to sit quietly and to talk to God and listen to God. Let us give thanks for the blessings of this day, and let us make confession to God, asking God's forgiveness of our sins. Would you pray silently for a moment? loving God, accept our thanksgiving, hear our confessions, we pray. At this Christmas season, when we are so full of anticipation, expectation, longing for peace and joy, remind us that your presence came not in comfortable places, but in a smelly stable. Remind us that your coming to earth was not because the times were so good and the circumstances so perfect, but because the times were bad and people were oppressed and hungry and in need of care. Thank you, Lord. May your act of love and grace so long ago live on in us as the Word is made flesh in us now. As we sing these hymns, O little town of Bethlehem and others, we pray that you would indeed be born in us today, not just some 2,000 years ago in an obscure village in an occupied Roman colony. We ask that you be born in us when we are filled with anger and hate and hopelessness, and when we are grieved and doubtful, when we are unexcited and uninspired. We pray that you would be born in us when we are too lustful or too impassioned to please and motivated just to please ourselves. We ask that you be born in us when we are divided, when we are perhaps outside the membership of your kingdom. Be born in us when we are in swirling issues about our vocation or relationships or in this world and community so confused. And so as the angel announced good tidings of great joy to all people, so may we hear those good tidings of great joy as well, the joy of wholeness and integrity and salvation that are made ours, that dwell among us through the living, breathing body of Jesus Christ present right here today. It is in his name we pray the prayer he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Forward for our children's time. Good morning, guys. How are y'all doing? Good. All right, we got to have a little bit more energy since we're a few in number this morning, okay? Can you do that? How many of you are excited about Christmas? Two and a half, maybe? Three? Excited about Christmas. Okay, let me ask you a better question. How many of you are excited about getting out of school in a week? Thank you, guys. Thank you for helping me out with that one. This time of year, there's lots of exciting things that takes place. We get to school, we get presents, we get to see family and friends. Sometimes we don't get to see throughout the year. We also get to do some exciting things in church, like singing Christmas carols, which are always fun. But as I said a couple weeks ago, I think sometimes finding out the story behind a song makes it even more meaningful. And so this morning I want to tell you a story. But before I tell you the story about one of the Christmas carols that we're going to sing in just a few moments, I want to ask you a question. What are some things that you would say have power? Jesus, good answer. What are some other things you say has power? God, okay, we're on the same page, Link. What about a really big football player that can tackle anybody? Not power? No? Luke's thinking yes. I know, I was reading his mind. Power comes in a lot of different ways, in a lot of different forms, but sometimes we don't recognize it. Did you know that even a single song can have power? It can. And I'm going to tell you a story about this Christmas carol and how powerful it was. It was so powerful, it caused two groups of people to come together to stop fighting and to stop arguing and coming together and to recognize who God was and what Jesus did. That's the power of a song. Story goes as this. There's a man by the name of James Montgomery. James Montgomery was from Ireland back in the late 1700s. His parents were missionaries. So while his parents went off on the missions field to West Indies, he was sent to a charter school, a boarding school, to get his education. Unfortunately, while he was in school, his parents passed away on the missions field, and that left James all alone. Now, James was still in school, and he still had the opportunity to go to school, but after his parents died, James didn't want to go to school anymore. He actually dropped out of school and decided he was just going to try to get small little jobs he could do to make a little bit of money to make things go by, to meet his needs, his like food and shelter. But there were times where he didn't have a job at all, and he would spend weeks upon weeks on the street being homeless. One of the things that James did to pass this time, one of the things he loved to do, was to write. And so a lot of the money that he got from the jobs that he worked, he would buy things like pencils, paper. And back then, it was really expensive. It wasn't as cheap as it is today. And so he had to spend a lot of money to do that, but he loved writing. Well, one day, a man who owned a newspaper read some of James's writing and said, "You know what? You are really good at this. I'm going to pay you to write for our newspaper." Before too long, James took over the job. He became the runner of the, he ran the newspaper. And oftentimes, some of the things he wrote in the newspaper made some people upset. See, James was from Ireland, and at that time, England was in charge of Ireland. And the Irish people wanted to be free, and James believed they should be free too. So he would write some things in the newspaper some days that would make people upset, and the people from England, since he was in London, would actually come and arrest him. He actually spent 2 weeks in jail for things he wrote in the newspaper. Well, James, when he got out, he had a change of heart. His parents were Christians, missionaries, and he studied the Bible and wanted to know why they were so dedicated to what they did for a living. And he was surprised to discover who Jesus was and what Jesus did. So on Christmas Eve of 1816, James was preparing his newspaper to put out the next day on Christmas. Now, many people thought that when he came to write his article that next day, they thought they were going to read something that was going to be really exciting, really speak to the freedom that the Irish people wanted. Now, that's what the people from Ireland were hoping to read. The people from England, instead, were hoping to read something that James would write so they could arrest him again and throw him into prison. But instead of writing an article that day, he put a poem in that he had written called Nativity. Well, I'm going to stop the story there for a second, because if it had not been for his writing and another man, James's poem would have been forgotten. But there was another man. He was an organist in England, and his name was Henry Smart. He was actually one of the best organists in all of London and some say across the world. And Henry wanted to change the way worship was done. And a few minutes ago, I laughed about me not being able to sing. But back in England, back in the late 1700s, when they had worship service, nobody in the congregation sang. You know who got to sing? The ministers. That would be scary. I laughed too. And thank goodness we don't do that anymore. But Henry Smart decided he wanted to change things. He didn't want just the ministers to sing. He wanted everybody to sing. And so he started taking music and putting it to song. And in doing that, he changed the way church music was. Another interesting story about Henry Smart is when he was about 17 or 18, about the age of most of these guys sitting right here, he started going blind. He couldn't even read the words of Nativity that James had written so many years ago. But one day someone read those words to him and he said, "Wow, this is incredible." And so he took the poem and he put some music to it. And then he published it, and all of a sudden every church in England wanted to sing this song. Now, he didn't keep the same name of the poem, Nativity. Instead, he changed the name of the song to Angels from the Realms of Glory. When they sang it, everybody would sing out loud. Not just the ministers, the people in the pews, everybody sang it. And they are excited about hearing the story about the angels proclaiming that Jesus Christ was born. Today, we're celebrating joy. And joy is an exciting thing. And joy was an exciting thing back when the angels came, because everyone that the angels came to proclaim to, they were joyful in their hearts and in their actions. And so the churches in England started singing a song written by an Irishman about angels coming and proclaiming that the Christ child was born for everyone, not just the people in England, not just the people in Ireland, but for you and me too. That story, that song, helped change the way England looked at Ireland. And that song changed the way we worship today. And because of these two men, James and Henry, and deciding to do something that they were really gifted at, they changed the way we worship at Christmas time. In just a few moments, just a minute or two after we do our prayer, we're going to sing the song, Angels from the Realms of Glory. But I don't want you to forget the story of James and Henry and what they were able to do and the power that the song had when it changed the lives of so many. So when you go back to sing the song, you're going to see the words on the screen up here. I know there's one way to sing it. You can kind of sing, Angels from the Realms of Glory. See, I can't sing. But there's not much energy to that. I want you to show the power in your voice when you sing it, okay? So when instead of singing blah, 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 sing, Angels from the Realms of Glory, I want to see some power behind it. And that goes for everyone out in the pews, too, this morning, okay? Let's stand up and have a word of prayer, and let's give thanks for the power that God gives us this year. Stand up.
Father God, so many of these Christmas carols that we sing this time, they have wonderful stories behind it. I just ask that as we learn the story of this Angels from the Realms of Glory, we remember that just a single song changed the lives of so many. Father God, as we sing it today, may we sing it with the power that it carries, the joy that it proclaims as we gather here this Advent season as we celebrate joy. Father, I thank you for these children. I thank you for the gifts they have and how they're going to use those gifts to change the world. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen.
Please stand for our offertory hymn. It's number 94, Angels from the Realms of Glory.
Father God, we are here in a season of Advent, and today we celebrate joy. We are amazed at the proclamation of the angels that Jesus, the child, the baby, would be born and the world would be changed. Father God, as we reflect on that proclamation from the angels, we think about how you have called us to proclaim the birth of the Christ child, the celebration of who he is and what he did. Father God, we are thankful in this time to give joy to you, to turn a portion of our offerings over that you may use them to proclaim that message, to proclaim the joy that that time has changed, that Christ is here, and he worships and he celebrates with us. Father God, as we bring these offerings to you, we just are to get thankful that you have blessed us, and may we continue to lift up your kingdom. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Our scripture reading from Luke chapter 1, 46 through 55 is a continuation of a story that began where the Annunciation of Gabriel to Mary has her puzzled and wondering. And then we find, as Luke tells it, Mary goes from her home in Nazareth to the home of a kinsperson, Elizabeth, and there she stays for 3 months, and the baby quickens within her during that time as she meets with Elizabeth. Hear these words, which are really words to be sung, but we will read them together and sing them in our hearts. And Mary said, "My soul praises the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." May God add understanding to the reading of our lesson. Thanks be to God. Psalms. They're important, especially at this time of year. Some of you have been singing those Christmas carols. Would you sing if you were Mary? I teased my daughter, the youngest of our three children, some years ago about her love for country music and the country lifestyle, the John Deere tractors and the John Deere paraphernalia and kerchiefs and such that she liked to collect, the rodeos that she liked to go to, the dumplings, the sweet tea, the pickup trucks. And she took all that with her to Elon University her freshman year, right down the road where she stayed in a dorm with a roommate from New Jersey. Now you laugh. You already know the conflict that might bring. One of her friends from New Jersey asked her what sweet tea was. She said, "Sweet tea? Y'all mean sweet tea?" She had to correct her on that. My daughter, I think, felt her mission was to convert everyone to be Southerners at Elon, and it is a task which has not been done yet, I understand. But it was a revelation when at Christmas she came home for the break to Raleigh, where we were living, and she got a phone call from Joanna in New Jersey asking her what was the best country music CD to give to a friend. Aha, she thought, I've won one over, and indeed I think that she has. I told her, please don't tell her Grandma got run over by a reindeer. There are a lot of good CD Christmas country music numbers besides that one. Some of you like country music, some of you detest it. Others prefer classical, still others contemporary Christian or jazz or hip-hop or whatever. The fact is, the songs and the types of music that we choose reflect a lot about who we are and our mood and, in a sense, our attitudes about life. And so today we have this song coming to us from Luke that Mary is singing, if you will. We call it Magnificat. It's been set to many different scores of music. It's a song filled with world-shaking lyrics. Now, we read it and we think, oh, how nice, praising God, look what God has done. Actually, it is a prophecy. And even though it is in past tense, it is still a hope for the future because God still hasn't done all of those things, has not brought peace, has not brought Israel to redemption and salvation and wholeness. And so, as Will Willimon says, it's really a protest song. a song of protest. Well, how could that be? We don't think of protest at Christmas time. We want everything to be perfect and nice. It's not unlike the protest song that some of you, old as I am, can remember in the 1960s, songs that opposed war and violence. And I think that that may be appropriate to sing today as we have remembered Sandy Hook and as we have witnessed yet another shooting in our schools in Colorado. Thank God that no students, as far as I know, were killed in that. Some of you remember the 1960s and those pieces of music, like Eve of Destruction. Some of you even danced to that. Can you imagine dancing to a song that says, take a look, think of all the hate there is in Red China, then take a look around at Selma, Alabama. Can't you see? We're on the eve of destruction. Now, some of you 17-year-olds are looking at me like, he's got to be kidding me. But we did. We heard that music. The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. How many times must we fight and lose young people before wars end? All kinds of issues of violence in the 60s were addressed in songs. And so Mary is addressing the issues of her day and her own personal issues in this Magnificat, this song that she is singing. She has received earth-shaking news. For her personally, the news means that she's pregnant and she has chosen to carry God's Son, and that's not good news that she is chosen and has chosen to do that, because it meant several things in her culture. It would mean that she would be legally divorced by Joseph, to whom she was engaged, and that was legitimate grounds for divorce, carrying the child that was not yours. She could be stoned by angry mobs as an adulteress. She could be disowned by her family and so left bereft economically. She could be sent out to the wilderness where people with leprosy, where thieves, where the outcast were sent and forgotten. And so the words of greeting from the angel Gabriel, favored one, are ironic words. How many of you would feel favored if faced with legal action of divorce? And some of you have gone through the pains and tragedy of divorce. Our churches need to learn how to minister to people in the throes of divorce, because it usually means they drop out of church. And that's a sad thing. Some of you, would you feel favored if you were threatened with the possibility of death and you found out you have a chronic illness or a terminal illness? Or being disowned by your family or sent out to the wilderness? We don't feel God favors us when unfortunate things happen, do we? As a matter of fact, we tend to think, what have I done to deserve all this? As if God were out to get us. A story I heard some years ago of a nun on an elevator going up in a very high-rise building. And a disheveled, worried woman got on that elevator with the nun. It was just the two of them going up to the 25th floor. And so seeing the good sister, the nun, the woman begins to tell about how her husband had left her, about how he had taken all the money from the bank account, how she was left with the custody of the children, how her job had ended and the health benefits were gone, how she was expecting another child and would be in terrible financial state. And on top of all that, she had just come down with a very serious illness. About that time, the elevator door opened and the woman had to get out. The nun felt that she had to say something. And so the nun, listening to every word, looked at her and said, "My dear, God must love you very much." Think about that. God must love you very much. Now, those are either words of callous indifference or just ugly words. God really loves you. Or they may be words of assurance. "My dear, favored one, God loves you." Words that come from Gabriel to Mary. God must love you very much. It is true when we're going through circumstances that are difficult, extraordinary, suffering, oppressive times, God must love us very much because we need that. And that is the gift of Christmas that we need. the comfort and the love and the sustenance of our faith that will see us through the difficulty. So Gabriel said to Mary, "You're favored. The Lord is with you. And don't be afraid." Don't be afraid. Wow. What words. And Mary said, "How in the world can this be?" Verse 34, that's my translation. How in the world can this be? And in verse 29, she was perplexed. I mean, troubled by these words. And she began to think and to ponder what kind of greeting this could be. What kind of greeting of God that I'm favored when all this has happened? When I'm facing divorce, death, banishment? I hear God loves me very much. Some of you are there, you know. You've been visited with news that has changed your life. And you are wondering where God's voice is in all of this change. Mary knew that. She knew what would happen carrying a child out of wedlock. But she trusted God anyway. And if Mary knew the future, had she known the results of all the efforts, all the pain, all the social ostracism that she might face, the loss of this child upon a cross in just a few decades, would she have accepted that burden at all? Would she have sung the song at all? Fortunately, you and I do not know the details of our future. We only know the details of right now and some of the details we remember from past. But those details ask us for a response. A response. It asks us to form a song for our lives. And so the question for us today is not what did Mary sing, but what song are we singing for our lives? Mary chose a song of both praise and advocacy for the poor and the oppressed. Read that song carefully and you'll see those things. And so it foreshadows the purpose and the message of the song Christ came to sing. "My soul magnifies the Lord," she sang, "and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant." Humility and servanthood and grace, those are lyrics in her song of life. But listen to the following verses. Verses of threat and protest and challenging the status quo, which is unfair to so many people. There are voices which say that the world's got to change. The world must change. The poor must be cared for. And we cannot neglect the poor. The proud need to be brought down. Those rich should go away empty. Mary's song is advocacy for all who are oppressed. If you received Time magazine, you picked it up this week and you saw the person of the year. Who was it? Pope Francis. And why was he there? Not because he was a pope, not because he was elected, because he is changing the advocacy of the church toward a greater concern for those who are poor in the world, however that might be expressed. Now, I know we're Baptists. We don't really concern ourselves so much with what the Pope does. But in this sense, the direction of the church and the majority of those who identify with the Catholic Church, who are by far the majority in this, our country, influences also our country and the world in which we live. And we as Baptists, I hope we have always been concerned for the poor, but we should also take up that message, the message not just of a pope, but the message of God's servant, Mary, and the very message of Jesus himself. These are words, not just some vague reference of words to an idealistic heaven pie in the sky someday, but radical change here on earth through the work and love of God in Christ. There are words which say we've spent too much time on those adornments on our Christmas tree. There are words that say we've spent too little time caring for the poor and the needy. There are words which remind us that the message of the Savior and the message we proclaim is for those who are hungry and lowly and powerless. And we spent too much time wondering if we will be happy this Christmas. and if our list will be fulfilled this Christmas. These are words which remind us that we are not in control, that the impossible for us is possible only through God. And Mary said, "According to your will, Lord, let it be. Let it be." Those are the very words that the Beatles coined, by the way, in that song, "Let It Be, Let It Be." Mother Mary says to me, crystal words of wisdom, "Let it be, let it be." And so let it be to us as well, as we sing a song that Mary sang, a song that will enlighten our lives, yes, and make our values reordered according to God's values. Let us sing, "Let it be according to God's will." Barbara Brown Taylor says, we will eventually make one of two choices. Yes, I will live this life that is being held out to me, that God is offering to me, or no, I will not live this life that God is calling me to. So what will it be, she says? What will it be? What will you sing? What kind of song? Will we go on singing sad songs all of our lives? Because sad songs get old. Melancholy, and it's a nice, nostalgia is a nice place to visit, but we don't want to live there. It's a lousy place to dwell. Visit there only as long as you must. Songs of escape, we can sing those as well. We can run from reality a long time, but the angel Gabriel will catch us just like he would catch Mary with the news of God's real purpose and will. And we can run from that. We can try to escape it, but we will not be happy until we face up to it. Song of giddy happiness. It's good to be happy. This is Joy Sunday. We want to be happy, but we're not a giddy happy people. We are a people whose joy is based upon who we are through the waters of baptism, who has claimed our lives, Jesus Christ, and whom we follow. And so we can sing and enjoy Bob Marley's "Don't Worry, Be Happy," but we remember that Bob Marley didn't have a very happy life. It was a life dedicated more toward addiction, unfortunately, than toward faith. We can sing the songs of anger and protest all of our lives. We can be prophets who are angry and protesting, and that's a high calling. But we can't stay there forever. We can't stay and dwell in anger forever. We must move on. Anger should be acknowledged and should be ventilated and should be expressed in positive ways to bring forth change. And that's really the call of prophecy. But if we live in anger forever, we will burn with the flames of anger. And like all flames, that anger can do more harm than good. And unresolved anger and resentment become depression, and that weighs us down. We can sing a song of true joy, of deep down abiding joy and gratitude for the wholeness, the salvation God has given us, acceptance and resolution. Yes, I will accept this life that I have been given, and I will do the best I can to redeem it, to make it a witness for God's glory, to show love to others through whatever suffering or discomfort or disadvantage I may be experiencing. It's God's, because my life, through baptism, as I follow Jesus Christ, now belongs to God, now belongs to Christ. And so it becomes a song, our life, a song of faithfulness, doesn't it? Of obedience, of discipleship, of dogged determination to hang on, to see it through, to follow God's will, no matter what, no matter what. Even when we don't feel so favored, even when things aren't as happy as we want them to be. Joy, we define that as blessedness, not the giddy happiness, but an abiding sense of God's presence and provisions and security in our life. No, there is a sense in which all is not perfect and calm as much as we sing Silent Night. Not all is bright and beautiful, no matter how many candles we light. But I believe it will all work out in God's good time. And so I can let it be as Mary did, according to God's will. I can let it be. Julian of Norwich knew that. Though all may not be well right now, all manner of things shall be well. Julian said, all things shall be well. And so Mary sings. What good is it if Mary sings and you don't? What good is it if Mary accepts and adapts to God's will, but you don't? What good is it if Mary is full of grace and you don't? What good is it if Mary is blessed and joyful and you are not? Those are the questions on this day as we sing. For Mary, there was a choice. There was much about life that she could not change, but there were some things she could do. And what she could do was to praise God, to be obedient, for God had looked upon her with favor, on her lowliness as his servant with favor. And for that, she was grateful. And she said, I am blessed. And when we do that, allow God to look upon our lowliness, our humanity, our frailty, our problems, but yet use them for his glory. We, like Mary, will be called blessed. Would you pray with me? Lord, there's music all around us. Songs of many kinds being sung by many people. Songs which annoy us. Songs which tempt us and sway us. Songs which carry us into our own world and shut out the worlds of others. Give to us your true song and keep us singing. Turn our eyes to behold the angels in human form who surround us right here in this room, messengers, all of them, of your goodness. And may we sing, O Lord, in whatever circumstances that come our way, may we sing, my soul magnifies you, my life reflects your love. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We sing our hymn of response, O Little Town of Bethlehem. We chose that in staff meeting because there's one particular phrase in there that asks us to make a change in our lives, to allow room in our souls and hearts for Jesus to enter in. Listen for that. Let that be your call. And some of you may respond by coming to join the church, to come upon promise of baptism or by transfer of membership. Or your response might be a quiet one, right where you are, to make sure that you're singing the song God wants you to sing this Christmas and every day this year. Would you stand as we share together? for your presence. We especially want to thank our musicians today. I think we had four ministers of music with us from this church at least at one time in their lives who were ministers of music. And Susan's back and sharing with us on the viola. How nice. To all of you, we wish you a happy day. The sun's shining. It's not raining like it was yesterday. Let's go forth and be glad. And now may God descend upon you, and may Christ be born in your lives in this day. May you go forth reflecting Christ through the love you share this day and all days. Go in peace. Amen.